Hey, y'all, you're listening to the Mother Far From Home podcast with me, your host, Rachel Norman. If you desperately need a common sense, down-to-earth perspective on how to mother well without losing it, living in constant stress, or needing to escape your life, you have come to the right place.
Hello, Mama. Welcome back. So in this podcast episode, I really want to talk about some ways that we can prepare our kids, you know, teach our kids, warn our kids, to help them succeed during the holiday season, whether it's, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas, I don't know exactly when this will be released. Certainly Christmas, New Year's, being around family. So the main point I'm getting at is there's some important relational and self-management skills that kids can really use and learn during this holiday season. It'll really help them kind of dive in and solidify these things and just have a good season, basically, so they don't get kind of worn out, stressed, or end up in tricky situations. So let's just talk about some of these skills kids will need to navigate the holiday season well. I mean, I will tell you that I have had some embarrassing times during the holidays with my kids because I hadn't anticipated, and I'm not saying I'm just supposed to anticipate this, I'm just saying I didn't, and my kids responded or acted in a way that I felt very humiliated by, whether other people showed grace or not. And let's just say from then on, I like to coach them in acceptable responses, things to say, things not to say, and that type of thing. And so I think that it's just important we talk about this. So one basic thing that, and I mean, we do this all the time, right? Okay. So this is something we can regularly do, but it is very important during the holiday season when people are bringing gifts or they're bringing cookies or they're getting special things from others, you know, that we teach them to express thanks and actually how to say thank you and why it matters, you know. So this is actually a skill in our, this is a skill in our Life School at Home for the November mission. And if you're not a member, by the way, I encourage you to look out for my special after Christmas that I'm giving some super fun bonuses or things to just help you be able to, you know, really equip your kids. So stay tuned for that. But so we want to look into, you know, how to say thank you, how to actually say it, when to say it, you know. And this might include even eye contact, you know, somebody who gives you something, you look at them and say, thank you, practicing it, doing role play. Kids, adults feel cheesy doing role play, but role play is super helpful to kids because it's like training. We're like somebody tells you how to shoot a layup, but you, in your mind, you're doing the whole thing in your head, but you don't actually know when to put your foot or when to jump or, you know, you need to do it in real life. And so it's like, that's what role playing does for kids. Role play, when to say thank you, who to say thank you to. Talk about what to do if your kids get a present they don't like, or a present they don't want, or a duplicate present, or you know your kids. Some of my kids just like roll with it, thanks. Other of my kids would be like, I already have this, you know. And so we want to talk about what is kind of social graces, I guess, you know. And it's important to share with kids what sounds rude, because kids just typically say, especially depending on their age, and this starts to change as they go into middle elementary school, but kids will just kind of say whatever they're thinking, even if it sounds rude. Like they don't know necessarily what sounds rude, because it's like, I don't like it. I said I didn't like it. You let me say I don't like things at home all the time. Why can't I just say I don't like this present? What's that got to do with anything? It ain't about grandma, it's about the present, you know? And so kids don't necessarily, all of them intuitively know what's rude or what isn't. And so we're not trying to sort of brainwash them with cultural norms, but there's just certain behaviors that generally agreed upon we're not okay with, and certain ones we are. And so we want to make sure our kids know what they are, because it's way better to be like, here's what's going to happen. You may get these presents. What do you do if you get a present you don't like? And practicing it, then in front of the whole family, them getting a present and then being like, I don't like it, or throwing it to the side. And I'm not talking about like the silly things a little toddler might do, like, oh, another shirt. I mean, just, we really don't want our kids to be rude, whether in, certainly not intentionally, but also not unintentionally, because it doesn't feel good to have behaved in a way that made others feel bad, and we didn't even know it. You know, it's like, I didn't know I was supposed to say that or not say that, and nobody told me. And now I embarrassed myself, and I clearly made mom mad. You know, we kind of want to avoid those. Another thing that we can do to prepare our kids to have a good social time during the holidays is to teach them how to greet and say hello or goodbye to others. Social niceties, you know, going to someone's house and, I don't know, finding the adult. You know, this all depends. I guess Emily Post would say there are certain things that we should do, but I'm not listing them all out here, but just whatever it is that comes to your mind, you know. If we go to a friend's house, I like them to thank the mom and, you know, thank you for having us over. Thank you for giving us food. Or, you know, you're going to a birthday party, instead of just running and playing, you find the birthday child and you tell them happy birthday. Thanks for letting them come. Or it's just some easy things like this, right? Now, I'm not saying we need to teach them to hug strangers if you don't want to hug strangers, or, you know, nothing like that, right? But you might want to include, if you have a child who's, so here's an example. You have a child who's shy. They don't love talking to people. So, you know, they're going to hide their head in between your legs, or somebody's going to try to talk to them and they're just going to stare at them and whatever. You know, your child's not trying to be rude, but everybody else might not know that, right? And now I'm not saying we need to please everybody else. So what I'm saying is, doing role playing with your child to help your child understand and give them some scenarios. So, okay, somebody's going to come and they're going to try to hug you and you don't want them to. What can we do? We can say, oh, no hugs, thanks, I'll shake your hand or whatever. You want to coach your kid for likely scenarios and, you know, without bad-mouthing anybody, just empowering them. So you want to talk about eye contact, like, you know, we make eye contact. Here's how to ask questions or, you know, have conversation. And kids who are used to being around other adults or being talked to in a more groany way, I don't know how else to say that, they're typically pretty good at having conversations. But all kids need practice in the art of asking a question and giving an answer and asking a question, because by nature, kids are self-centered. It is the work of a child to center themselves, so that then as they do that, they can begin to, from a centered place, live out and love and serve others and be able to give attention to others. But it's kind of their job when they're little to be self-centered. And so when we plop on them, you were rude, you did this, and they honestly didn't even know they needed to do that because it wasn't something you make them do at home. I don't want to say it's unfair, but it doesn't have to be that way. We can just teach them, right? So we want to, you know, the eye contact, make it conversation skills, being able to ask a question, you know, how are you? Or depending if they're older, you know, just keep like letting them, not always separating them out and kids never talking to adults. We want them to learn some of these skills, right? Just basically being able to have a conversation, making a little bit of small talk. So kids will pick up on some of this. And clearly, if you do this, they'll see you and they will learn. But we're just talking, if we have a lot of family events or different things, you can just take some time at the dinner table in life school at home. That's what I often suggest. A lot of what kids need to learn, we can talk about at the dinner table before it ever has to be practiced, right? They can learn not to only talk about themselves, you know. And also another good one is if they're off playing, there's cousins or groups or whatever, what a kid can do if they want you, if they need you, you know. So just kind of preparing them a little bit for some of these things. So another skill that I have this is funny to me because we went all sideways on this when my kids were younger, but it's just, you know, we're going to be at a lot of events. There's going to be lots of food on the table, lots of parties, social situations, you know. We want to teach our kids moderation, satiation, learning to know when they're full and being okay with that. So I got into a jam, I would say, in the early years of my kids because I was just so health conscious that I basically refused almost all types of treats or anything at the house. And I mean, I stand by not giving them unhealthy food, but I realized what I was doing. If we would go to parties or other people's houses, they would literally camp out at the food table and just be like starved kids, like they ain't never seen like a cookie, you know? And I was just like, go play. And, you know, I felt ashamed. I felt embarrassed. And whatever, who cares? I'm not saying anybody cared. I don't actually care what people think. I don't think anybody's sitting around going, Rachel's kid, or, you know, they might have, but I'm saying, I'm not meaning that it was some bigger deal. But what I realized was like my refusal to let them have any ever meant they were just, and then they would eat so much. And it happened at one party, was this Halloween? So it was like I had deprived so much that we went to a Halloween event and they knew I wasn't going to just let them keep a massive bag of candy, but they all ate so much candy. 3 out of 5 of them threw up. I'm talking about hanging over the toilet, throwing up. I was like, so, okay, I think I've gone wrong here a little bit, because clearly they are just stuffing their face so far past the point, you know. Anyway, a lot of things going on there. So what I did is I began to relax and allow, or being able to give treats or different things that I felt okay with, that didn't, you know, blah, 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 you know, whatever I was okay giving, so that they didn't have this sense of deprivation. So, okay. So that's not really the point of this. I just had to give that story so y'all don't ever think I'm pretending like I got everything figured out. Boy, howdy. But anyway, so whenever we're going to parties and things, I want to talk about eating when you're hungry, right? If you want some food, get it. If you're not, you don't have to just stuff yourself because you're worried it's not going to be there anymore, right? So it's like teaching our kids to listen to their stomachs, because we even struggle with this around the holidays, right? And something that you can do, and we were recently at a new friend's house, and we were like watching a football game, and the kids were swimming and playing, and so my kids had wanted to go get, like, they had like little cans of Sprite or something. And she was like, can they have another can? And I was like, you know, when we're at other people's houses and parties and things, like, I don't have any rules. They can just kind of do with what they, oh, well, okay. No Mountain Dew. That's like a given rule. Okay. Like, my kids know I'm going to let them have Mountain Dew. But anyway, you know, they have a Dr. Pepper, whatever. I'm okay with that. And she's like, me too. Like, at home, we're pretty structured, but anytime there's something special, I don't have any rules. So it might be the case where you want to either create these type of things where the kids know what they expect. I don't know. I don't want to get too rule-y around food. I know food is a sensitive topic. I don't know. I don't know that I have a perfect balance on it, but I know that we are much more balanced now that I began to allow treats that I was okay with at times regularly, to where then, because they weren't feeling this deep sense of deprivation, they could learn to listen to their bodies. And I would see my kids being like, I'm full. Like, that's enough. I don't need any more than that. Or, you know, anytime they watch the TV, they would be like needing to eat. And now they don't do that. Like, if they aren't hungry, they don't eat. So I guess having these conversations with kids is just a great time as the holiday comes up. And another thing, I don't know if this bothers you or not, but a couple of my kids would pile a massive plate up and then just not eat it at all. And, you know, at home, whatever, dad can be the vacuum, it can go in leftovers. And we do leftovers, I don't even call them leftovers. Like, one of my kids called her leftover yesterday. I was like, oh, you mean the food from yesterday? What? Leftover? No. Anyway, we eat those all the time, and that's fine. But if you're somewhere else, you're probably not just going to bring it home. And the fact is, you know, my mom always used to say, you know, don't have eyes bigger than your stomach. Get a little bit. If you eat it and you want more, go back. So these type of just skills or ideas or thoughts we can introduce to our kids, if you care about them, not if you don't, that'll just help them learn this moderation, right? This, I guess, is around food, you know? I mean, I have cleaning up after themselves here. I've found that my kids, if we're somewhere else, it's like they just leave their stuff everywhere. So this is a skill that I'm starting to, or this is a place I'm starting to realize my kids do not have success in. They'll just leave their plates and their drinks and their stuff. We were at somebody's house the other day, and like my son got too many of like the caramel popcorn, more than he had eyes bigger than his stomach. And then he kept them, and then they had ants in them after all over them, and then like in an hour, you know? And so these are just the types of things, instead of just it happening and me getting mad at him, I realized, okay, we need to talk this through a little more, not putting food on the ground, first of all, just giving them some skills, you know? Like, to me, it's way better to talk a little bit extra at the beginning than for them to do something that we kind of get frustrated and mad and yell, or they feel embarrassed, right? So another thing that I like to focus on and think about, or that I truly believe is the truth, and this is, you know, it's biblical, but I feel this as the truth as well as it just being the truth, is that it is better to give than to receive. It feels more joyous. It is a great gift to give your kids for them to feel the joy of giving. So we have a tradition, and I mean, it's not perfect, right? Because my kids don't use their own money to do this because they don't really have enough money to do this. But every year for Christmas, I take each kid, and that kid has a small limit. It's not a lot of money to buy a present for their other 4 siblings. So as they get older, Or I might make them, you know, do some work to get some money and use their own money to do this. I don't know. I'm not saying this is a perfect system, but they get to go and pick out something for their sibling. And they think about them. I know they would like this. I know that she would like this. And then when the sibling opens it and likes it, like, it just feels joyful. So just kind of giving them the opportunity to give, I guess, instead of just to receive, right? So it is just truly true that giving feels so good when you do it with the right heart. And we just want to give our kids an opportunity for this, right? Or if it's not gift giving, it could be just focusing on others, like making cookies for others. We did this one year. We made just a bunch of Christmas cookies and the kids decorated them. So they were cute. I ain't saying they were pretty, but, like, you know what I'm saying? They were cute. And taking them to the neighbors' houses, just little things. I don't mean to say this to add, like, okay, now I need to add making 100 cookies for my neighbors on my already full to-do list. I don't mean it like that. Just anything, you know, even just loading them up and taking them caroling because they're cute. People like this, you know, it feels good to do for others, I guess is what I'm getting at. It's just giving, you know, doing something at the church, donating food when you're on a grocery run, getting them to pick out some extra food, snacks, non-perishables that they would like, and taking them to the local food bank or the at your church if you have a food ministry. Things like this, that even if it's your money, okay, getting the kids used to thinking of others and giving makes it so much easier to do later. Like, I just grew up with my mom helping and doing and thinking of others. And it's just something that feels like a normal thing, right? And so they're going to love their toys. They're going to want to play with them. But adding, and it's good to get them gifts, whatever. Or although one of my besties is like, I think we're all going to go on, like, I think we're going to not do gifts and we're going to do something else. But so whatever, you do you, whatever you feel like it, you know, you feel is appropriate for your family. But doing things like this, getting them used to giving and thinking of others, and not just what they're going to get, is just lasts much longer than the holidays. Let's put it like that. So, and the last thing that I'm personally going to focus on and do tend to focus on, but especially with the holidays coming, because we're going to have guests. My in-laws are coming from Australia, which is going to be excellent. They're staying in the house with us for like 6 weeks or something. And then my sister-in-law and brother-in-law are coming, and they also have 5 kids. And so it's just going to be a lot. We're going to have a lot, right? And it's going to be great and joyous. But I want them to learn and to begin to learn to self-regulate based on their personality. So self-regulation or self-management is actually one of the 6 main types of life skills. There's relationships and community, self-management. Let's see, what else we got? We got the big chores, finances, and the area of finances. What am I missing? Health and safety. I think I'm missing one more. But self-regulating is one of those. And that is like our time management, our mood management, getting enough sleep, tracking what we need to track, this type of thing. So I'll never forget, this was years ago back when we lived in Australia and we were having a progressive dinner, or, you know, when you go around to different people's houses and eat, right? And so one of the one family came over and their daughter, who was like probably like 10 to 12 at the time. And her mom was like, would you mind if she goes into your room and does a little reading or whatever? Like, she has had a big week. She told me this morning she really feels like she needs a little bit of time alone to just recoup. And since this is an all-day event and there's like 50 people or whatever. And I was like, sounds excellent. So she was, even at that young age of 10 to 12, she had realized, you know, she had felt, whether it was sensory overload, just needing to rest, relax. And she asked her mom and then she made it happen. So this is just something, a concept to introduce to the kids, right? Some kids are going to be introverted. Some are going to be extroverted. Some are going to want to play. They're never going to want to be alone. They're going to play with the cousins or whatever, the neighbors, the friends. And other kids are going to get more easily overwhelmed. So it's just a discussion to have with the kids and to explain getting energy from people and energy from, and, you know, sapping energy from people or whatever. Your energy being zapped because you're around a lot of people, or I think it's actually recharging. You recharge with people, you recharge alone, whatever it is. Begin to talk about the concept with them. Just, you know, we're going to be, especially if you're having guests or you're traveling a lot, you know, and let me know if you're feeling overwhelmed. Let me know if you need a little bit of time alone. Like, let me know if we need a slightly earlier bedtime, not to go to sleep, but just for you to recoup in your room. Like, let's talk about it, you know? And then you start to notice, is your child overwhelmed? Do they need more time alone? As we're entering into this busy season, what can happen is kids can melt down more. They can seem more bratty and ungrateful. And we often, a bratty, ungrateful type, I just use those words like because that we would recognize those behaviors. We think that's just the kids acting spoiled when sometimes they're just overwhelmed. They are kind of mad. They're expecting us to help make it okay for them, but we don't even know what's going on with them. So having these talks where we can help them regulate and learn to regulate goes a long way. It'll also prevent them in the future from having no margin in their life, from saying yes when they meant no, or, you know, it's just basically teaching them boundaries around their energy levels at a young age. So this is also a good, if you have a lot of people, a lot of, if you have guests or you're staying somewhere else, you are a guest, if they're at a big event or crowd or something, and you know your kids who need more alone time, this is a great time to teach them how to excuse themselves for a little bit of alone time, or how to say gracefully, I don't really want to play anymore right now. I just need a little break and I'll come back, without thinking it's mean or hurting anybody's feelings. This is empowering, right? Because if you think not playing with somebody is mean, most kids aren't going to want to do it, right? But if you teach them how to do it gracefully, then kids, right, feel empowered to kind of manage themselves. And I noticed this with one of my sons who had a friend over, and the friend wasn't over for that long, a few hours, but this child often goes in and really has a lot of alone time. And I could tell after like an hour and a half, he was sort of done with playing and he kind of went into his room to play quietly. And now, luckily, I have four boys. So this other kid is also friends with the other boys, and he had a great time and it was fine. But my son who'd invite him over, I realized, okay, he has a shorter window and then he's overwhelmed and he needs to be alone. So this was just good info for me, you know, and after a while he was able to come back out and play. And I talked him through it after and he wasn't being rude. Nothing had even happened. He just felt overwhelmed, you know. And so this is the same for us. We actually need this skill. So it's a perfect time. You can talk about it with your kids, yourself, just that ability to regulate and be able to be okay, even in an intense season. So if I just encourage you to think about this, have some talks around the dinner table. And if all this type of learning and equipping your kids is interesting to you, definitely stay tuned for after Christmas when I open up Life School at Home. And we're going to dig into a lot of fun, just empowering stuff like this in the new year. So I will talk to you soon, Mama.
As always, thanks so much for listening to this podcast. You can find me on my website, A Mother Far From Home, and on YouTube under the same name. If you like this podcast, I'd love it if you could write a 5-star review, and it'll help all the algorithms to get it in front of other moms who benefit from this encouragement. Until next time, keep it real out there, Mama.